Mr. Cranford had fierce little eyes, and they darted flitting glances at my shirt collar, Macintosh belt, Wellingtons. He could never quite bring himself to look at anybody in the eye. "Well, I doubt it, Mr. Cranford. One of the signs of lightning stroke is that the beast has fallen without a struggle. Some of them even have grass in their mouths."
"Oh, I know all about that," Cranford snapped, his thin face flushing. "I've been among livestock for half a century, and this isn't the first beast I've seen that's been struck. They're not all the same, you know."
"Oh, I realize that, but you see, this death could have been caused by so many things."
"What sort of things?"
"Well, anthrax for a start. Magnesium deficiency, heart trouble. There's quite a list. I really think we ought to do a post-mortem to make sure."
"Now, see here. Are you saying I'm trying to do something I shouldn't?"
Not at all. I'm only saying we should make sure before I write a certificate. We can go and see her opened at Mallock's, and believe me, if there's no other obvious cause of death, you'll get the benefit of the doubt. The insurance people are pretty good about it."
Mr. Cranford's predatory features sank lower into his coat collar. He dug his hands viciously into his pockets.
"I've had veterinaries at these jobs before. Proper experienced veterinaries, too."
The little eyes flashed in the direction of my left ear.
"They've never messed about like this. What's the use of going to all that trouble? Why do you have to be so damn particular?"
Why indeed, I thought. Why make an enemy of this man? He wielded a lot of power in the district. Prominent in the local farmers' union. A member of every agricultural committee for miles around. He was a wealthy, successful man, and if people didn't like him, they respected his knowledge and listened to him. He could do a young vet a lot of harm. Why not write the certificate and go home? "This is to certify that I have examined the above-mentioned animal, and in my opinion, lightning stroke was the cause of death." It would be easy, and Cranford would be mollified. It would be the end of the whole thing. Why antagonize this dangerous character for nothing? Maybe it really was lightning, anyway. I turned to face Mr. Cranford, trying in vain to look into his eyes that always veered away at the last moment. "I'm sorry, but I feel we ought to have a look inside this cow. I'll ring Mallock and ask him to pick her up, and we can see her in the morning. I'll meet you there at 10 o'clock. Will that be all right?"
"Reckon it'll have to be," Cranford spat out. "It's a piece of nonsense, but I suppose I've got to humour you. But just let me remind you, this was a good cow worth all of £80. I can't afford to lose that amount of money. I want me rights."
"I'm sure you'll get them, Mr. Cranford. And before I have her moved, I'd better take a blood film to eliminate anthrax."
The farmer had been under a mounting load of pressure. As a pillar of the Methodist chapel, his range of language was restricted. So he vented his pent-up feelings by kicking out savagely at the carcass. His toe made contact with the unyielding backbone, and he hopped around on one leg for a few seconds. Then he limped off towards the house. I was alone as I nicked the dead ear with my knife and drew a film of blood across a couple of glass slides. It hadn't been a happy session, and the one tomorrow didn't hold out much more promise. I enclosed the blood films carefully in a cardboard box, and set off for Skeldell House to examine them under the microscope. So it wasn't a particularly cheerful group which assembled at the knacker yard the following morning. Even Jeff, though he preserved his usual Buddha-like expression, was in fact deeply offended. The account he had given me when I first arrived at the yard was fragmentary, but I could piece the scene together. Jeff, leaping from his lorry at Cranford's, sweeping the carcass with a piercing glance and making his brilliant spot diagnosis.
"Stagnation at lungs! I can always tell by the look in their eyes! And the way their hair lies along back."
Waiting confidently for the wondering gasps, the congratulatory speeches which always followed his tour de force. Then Mr. Cranford, almost dancing with rage.
"Shut your big stupid mouth, Mallock, there knows nought about it. This cow was struck by lightning, and you better remember that."
And now, bending my head over the carcass, I couldn't find a clue anyway. No sign of bruising when the skin was removed. The internal organs clean and normal. I straightened up and pushed my fingers through my hair. The boiler bubbled softly, puffing out odoriferous wisps into the already highly charged atmosphere.